blanketed with snow now. The clouds were low and dark. We ought to be out running this dratted storm, Charlie fumed to himself, but instead it's just getting worse. He wished he'd put in new wiper blades before starting on this stupid trip. The wipers were smearing his windshield so badly he could hardly see outside. They'd stopped at two more gas stations, but both of them had no electricity either, so they couldn't pump gas. We're not going to make it home unless we fill the ever-loving tank, Charlie knew. The warning light glowed steadily now, a little yellow eye that told Charlie he was in real trouble. What to do, what to do? Push on until we run out of gas, or pull over and keep the car heated until a snowplow comes by? Martha was still fiddling with the radio, trying to get a local station. Try the cell phone again, Charlie said. His wife shook her head. It doesn't work. I've tried it a dozen times, and it doesn't work. Try it again, damn it! She looked shocked at his language, but picked the cell phone off the console between their seats and pecked at it. Nothing, she said, almost as if she were happy about it. At least the kids were quiet in the back seat. They'd peed and had eaten a couple of granola bars. That ought to keep them satisfied for a while, Charlie thought. Stay in the middle, Martha yelped as Charlie maneuvered the van around the curve. There was no guardrail, and she was on the open side. The snow was so thick now that Charlie couldn't see how far a drop it was on her side. I'm only doing 40, he growled. He didn't tell her that the road felt slick, slippery in spots. The radio crackled with the distant voice of a sportscaster, reporting that the Seattle Seahawks expected to have perfect football weather for Sunday's game against the San Diego Chargers. Big fornicating deal, Charlie grumbled to himself. At least a snowplow had been through this stretch of highway, Charlie realized. The roadway was covered with less than an inch of snow. Good, he thought, leaning a little more heavily on the accelerator. 50 miles an hour. That's better than... There was ice under the coating of snow, and the van suddenly spun a full circle before Charlie could do anything about it. Martha screamed and the kids yelled. The van smacked sideways into a mound of snow on the shoulder of the road, with Charlie jamming both his feet on the brake. Charlie could feel his heart hammering beneath his ribs. Martha was sobbing. Glancing over his shoulder, Charlie saw that both the kids seemed okay, white-faced and wide-eyed but unhurt. Their seatbelts had kept them from being banged around. "You okay back there?" he asked, surprised at how his voice shook.
"Yes, sir," said Charlie Jr. "I think so."
"Me too,"
little Martha echoed. "How about you?" Charlie asked his wife.
"My chest hurts."
"The seatbelt must have caught you."
"I think I'm having a heart attack."
"You're not having a heart attack. It's just the seatbelt. I bet I'm bruised too." From the back seat, Charlie Jr. piped up,
"Can we go outside and make a snowman?"
Japan, Misawa Air Force Base. Major Joseph E. Duggan, USAF, had learned one vitally important thing in his military career. When you need a job done, and done right the first time, get an experienced non-com to do it. He stood in a lightly misting rain in front of the hangar closest to the flight line, and watched befuddled maintenance crews towing planes out into the drizzle and parking them helter-skelter across the apron. Standing beside him was Technical Sergeant Aaron Scrap Iron Clinton, hard-eyed and humorless, his skin as dark as an eggplant, fists planted on the hips of his rumpled fatigues, an unlit cigar clamped in his teeth, the cigar.